and welcome to church. Welcome back those who've come back from holidays. I hope you had a restful time away. Okay, a special welcome to those who are visiting today and those listening online. My name is Diane. Helping me in today's service are our musicians, Adele and Rosemary. Reading us, And reading to us from the Bible will be Irene, and our prayer leader today will be Simon. And Trevor will also be teaching us from the Bible today. Now, we here at Abbotsford Anglican Church are a group of local people of all ages and backgrounds who've come to find meaning and purpose for life by living life God's way according to his word, the Bible. We invite you to know God with us. Today's Bible teaching, Trevor, we're focused on the power forever and ever, aren't we?
Yeah, again, we're just asking the question, you know, what are we actually saying in this last little bit of the prayer in that doxology? You know, yours be the power now and forever.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, now our mission focus for October is a ministry with refugees, and we're focusing this month on the Blairs. And at the end of your pews, you'll find an envelope if you care to contribute to their work. You can add a little bit and throw it in the offertory box at the back when the service is over.
The Blairs are actually coming at the end of October.
Oh, yeah, brilliant. Yeah. We'll get to meet them again.
Actually, a couple of weeks.
Lovely, lovely. And Anglican prison chaplaincy is the other thing we're focusing on with our prayers and our focus. The sentence of scripture for today, say to God, how awesome are your deeds? So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. Psalm 66. Okay, let's stand and sing our first song together.
Break all the law of grace.
turn around and say hello to a few people that have snuck in behind you while you sat down. Yep.
Please stay for some morning tea if you're able to afterwards and continue the fellowship. Please take a seat. We've got Colin Buchanan with us today, all expenses. Wish I could say he was here in the person, but we're going to listen to him up on the screen, and he's got a little talk to give to us, and then lead us into a song that reminds us about how mighty and powerful our God is.
Colin Buchanan.
There.
Something pretty sad happened on this beach a long time ago. You know what that is? It's a ship. It doesn't look like a ship anymore, does it? I'll tell you why. Well, it was a dark night and a stormy night, and the wind was blowing, and this ship, called the Mahino, was being towed up the coast. And the waves grew higher, and the captain, even though he tried very hard, couldn't keep the boat away from the beach. And it got washed up here, and they couldn't get it off again. And now, well, it's just all rusty, and one day it'll wash right away. I'll read you a verse from God's Word, the Bible. This is from Psalm 121. The Lord, that's God, will keep you from all harm. He'll watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. You know, Jesus is like a captain. He can keep you safe from sin, and sin can hurt you and harm you when the waves come in, like this shipwreck. Jesus is my captain. Is he your captain? There's a verse about that. Need to watch the water. With Jesus as my captain, I'll sail upon life's sea, and through the stormy winds and waves, he'll guide and care for me. With Jesus as my captain, I'll steer away from sin. I'll never have a shipwreck when I'm sailing close with him.
You are mighty. Lord is mighty. He is mighty. Call to the Lord.
Well, we're going to get Colin to help us sing that song right now, the one that reminds us that God is mighty to save. So if you know it, you can sing along with me, or you can just listen in. But let's stand and we'll sing this song together. Here we go.
Oh Lord my God, I cried to you for mercy, and you heard me. Oh Lord my God, you rescued me from the grave, and you are mighty. The Lord is mighty. He is mighty. Call to the Lord, for he is mighty to save. Oh Lord my God, I cry to you for help, and you heal me. Oh Lord my God, you wash me whiter than snow, and you are mighty. The Lord is mighty. He is mighty. Call to the Lord, for he is mighty to save. Turn my mourning to dancing, sorrow to joy, silence to singing, I will praise his name forevermore. Oh Lord my God, I cry to you for mercy, and you heard me. Oh Lord my God, you rescued me from the grave. You are mighty. The Lord is mighty. He is mighty. Call to the Lord, for he is mighty to save. You are mighty. The Lord is mighty. He is mighty. Call to the Lord, for he is mighty to save.
Please, take a seat.
Since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathise or empathise with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The Bible tells us not to hide our sins from God, our Heavenly Father, but to confess them with a repentant and obedient heart so that we may be forgiven through his boundless goodness and mercy. We ought to admit our sins to God at all times, and especially when we come together like this, to give thanks for the benefits we have received from him, to offer the praise that is due him, to hear his holy word, and to ask him to supply whatever we need. So let us approach the throne of our gracious God with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, and pray together. Merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the schemes and desires of our own hearts and have broken your holy laws. We have left undone what we ought to have done, and we have done what we ought not to have done. Yet, good Lord, have mercy on us. Restore those who repent, according to the promises declared to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant merciful Father, for his sake, that from now on we may live godly and obedient lives to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God desires that no one should perish, but that all should turn to Christ and live. We confess our sins in response to his call. God pardons those who humbly repent and truly believe the gospel. Therefore, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His faithful love endures forever.
The Bible reading this morning is from Revelation 5, verses 11 to 14, which you'll find on the Pew Bibles, page 1240. It will be on the screen, and it's also printed in your news and notes. As Irene comes up to read, let me pray. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. Teach us through your word and equip us for every good work for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hello, everyone. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 to 14. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creature and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worship. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, thanks, Irene. Thanks for reading that to us, and thanks, Diane, for leading us this morning. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible. We thank you that you do not leave us with just having to come up with ideas about who you are. You've told us who you are in your word, and Father, you have shown us in your Son, Jesus. Now, Father God, as we open your word, pray that you'll help me to teach your word correctly. And may we experience your Spirit guiding us into truth and being able to apply it to our lives, that we may live not only this day, but every day in loving obedience to you, with all joy and peace in believing. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, open up your Bible there to Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 through to 14. We will get to those eventually. But this morning we continue our Bible teaching time through the Lord's Prayer, and which we've been thinking about over the last several weeks, in fact. And we're coming to the close of the sermon series as we come to the end. And if you've missed any of the sermons on the Lord's Prayer, you can go just to the website and click on sermons, and you'll be able to go back and go over what we've been hearing from God's Word in the past 7 weeks. But last week and this week, and next week, Lord willing, we're actually looking at what we pray at the very end of the Lord's Prayer. Yours be the glory, yours be the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And in particular this morning, we're asking the question, what do we pray when we pray, yours is the power, now and forever? And Irwin, I've got something for you. And so we're focusing on that bit. What does it mean to pray at the end of the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be yours be the power forever and ever. Amen. And you may recall from last week's Bible teaching that these words, these final little words that's included in the Lord's Prayer that we pray together in church and down through the centuries of the church, actually aren't in Matthew's Gospel or Luke's Gospel. But they were added to the Lord's Prayer in what's called a little Christian work done by a Christian brother of ours back in AD 95 called the Didache. And it's a little manual or a guidance on Christian worship and doctrine and of that time. And he's, after writing out the Lord's Prayer, you know, he adds in there, yours be the kingdom, the power and the glory, now and forevermore. Amen. And I can just, there's no reason in the Didache for why the addition is added at all. Okay, no addition, no reason why he does it. But when you consider all that the Lord's Prayer teaches us and what we've actually learnt, I know for myself in preparing in the Lord's Prayer, we cannot help when we think about who God is, what he's done for us now and forever. We can't help but at the end of praying this prayer, oh, yours be the kingdom, yours be the power, yours be the glory now and forever. And I can just imagine that lovely Christian brother of ours is all of a sudden just adding it all in. Oh, blah, blah, blah. and we've had it down through the ages. Not every church, not in our history, it's an interesting little history. Not all church folk have down through the East and the West church over the years have had it there, and others haven't it. But now we sort of all agree that, yes, we can add that to the end of the Lord's Prayer. But I'm sure you'd agree that you'll be glad that the disciples actually asked Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray, when we think about that and what Jesus actually said in those words. And if anything, I hope this little sermon series has got us again, which we so often do, isn't it? I mean, I do. We just take for granted sometimes the things that we say in church, don't we? Sometimes we just go to sleep or switch off. Or, oh, yeah, I've said that over and over again. It's just a reminder again of the depth of what we're actually saying and why we say it when we come together for church. What's it teaching us about our God and about ourselves and each other? It's really been lovely, and I hope in your small groups or in your own little devotion time, using the Bible study notes in the news and notes, it's been helpful for you to get some feedback from others. I know in our little group on the Thursday night and the one on the Wednesday I've popped into, one of the things that came up was the bit about us. So often we just think about it being a prayer that's saying, me, lead me not into temptation, give me my daily bread. But the word us is there all the way through to remind us that this is a prayer that we're praying not only for ourselves but for each other and for our corporate benefit. And it's, there's so much in it, so much abundance in the Lord's Prayer. It's a good, good reminder. But what are we actually saying when we pray, yours is the power now and forever? The word power that's mentioned here is actually the word for, it's called in Greek, it's called dunamos, or dunamis. It comes from the word for power, or for dynamite, which we get the word dynamite from, all right? A potential power to come through. And so when we're praying three things, I take it. We're actually praying to God to do these three things. We're actually saying, we're acknowledging something about God, we're accepting something about God, and we're surrendering to God when we say, yours be the power now and forever. Amen. Okay. So we're acknowledging something about God, we're accepting something about God, and we're surrendering to God. Well, what's some things we're actually acknowledging about God? Acknowledging something about Him. Well, we're actually acknowledging about God that God, we're saying, God, you're God. There's no one else other than you. You are the God. There is no other one like you. So when we say, yours be the power, saying we're acknowledging you are God. I'm not God. They're not God. They're not God. You are God. You have the power. You have the authority. You are the one who is God. So that's the first thing I take it we're acknowledging. We're acknowledging God to be God. There is no other. And being God, we're acknowledging also that He has the ability to carry out who He is, what He has done, what He is doing now, and will do forever. All right, do you hear it? So we're praying, God, you have the ability. Not only are you God, but you have the ability. You have the dunamos, the power, the potential, the ability to be God, do what God does, and do what God has done. Well, actually, there's a big word. Here comes the big word. Omnipotent. We're saying that God is all-powerful in the word omnipotent. And there is no one more powerful than God. We're acknowledging that. And that's what Psalm 66 actually picks up in the verses. The psalmist encourages us to say to God, how awesome are your deeds! So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. There is no one more powerful or greater than God. And we're acknowledging that when we're saying, yours be the power. And that this power has been always and has been and will be and has been given to Jesus. Remember, as Jesus left to ascend back to be with the Father, after he says to his disciples, and it's recorded there in Matthew 28, all authority, all power, all dunamis, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The two are linked together. God the Father, God the Son, power. Authority, right to be given. So we're acknowledging, when we say, yours be the power for now and forever, we're acknowledging something about God. And that acknowledgement is that you are God and have the ability to be God now and forever for us. We're also accepting something about God. What are we accepting about God? Well, that He has the right to now actually exercise this power over all things. For He created all things, and all things belong to Him. And are for Him. We read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, for in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. It's a humbling thought, isn't it, when we say, for yours be the power, now and forever, we're actually acknowledging that we belong to God. We're not of our own to do as we like. And that's not a negative thing, that's a positive thing, being in relationship with God. But all things have been created for, by him and for him, for his glory and purpose. Awesome. Secondly, we're praying, we're accepting that, but since the creation of the world, all this is obvious. Right? It's obvious. And we might think, well, it's not very obvious to most of the people in the world. Yeah, well, it's obvious to us, you know, when we actually have eyes to see and the Spirit actually empowers us and enables us to see with his, with God-given eyes, we see that this is obvious, yeah. And it's wonderful when I love teaching kinder. Isn't it wonderful teaching scripture, Fiona? Like, oh, absolutely. Go to the children, you know, in a play group. You know, when I ask the, you know, some of the kids there, I say, you know, can you make this when you put a flower in front of them? You know, and or can you, you know, keep the sun coming up? And they go, no, God can do that, you know. Do you think I'll try tomorrow? Don't be silly, Mr. Young, you know. You know, God does that. Simple there. It's obvious to us, you know, that since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse, Romans 1. And we're also accepting something about this, about God, that he is worthy, as we sang in that little song, he is mighty to save. He is our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. We're accepting these things about God, that when we actually, and acknowledging and accepting, when we say, yours be the power, now and forever. But in doing that, we're actually surrendering too. We're surrendering to God. Considering all that God is and has done, ultimately, in loving us so much by becoming one of us and wanting us to be right with him now and forever, he became one of us in Jesus and lived the perfect life for us, died upon the cross, rose from the dead to take the punishment for our sin, to reconcile us to God, who without we would be condemned forever. These things are worthy of praise to God and thanks, and the reason for why he is worthy to open that scroll as we looked at last week, and that the angels there declare that you are worthy, our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Considering who God is, what he can do, has done, and will do for us, wisdom actually calls us. Wisdom actually compels us. The Spirit of God compels us to trust in God and to surrender to him. How easy it is to fall into that trap, you know, of thinking God's not powerful enough to be mighty to save, you know, to be able to actually be there when you need him. How difficult that is, how hard it is sometimes. I'm looking at my wife, Rosemary, because we've just had something in the last 24 hours that's just, God is good and is helping. Oh, but he is there. He is mighty to save, powerful, and amazingly just enables us to get through and to see things his way. At the time the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation, that he had this opportunity to go into the heavenly control room and see what was going on in God's heavenly control room. It's around about the end of the first century AD. And the church at this time is undergoing, like John himself, persecution and opposition, death, for the sake of being Christian and living life God's way. We don't know what that's like here. You might say, oh yes, I know. In a couple of weeks' time, when the people come from Voice of the Martyrs to speak to us about what it's like in some places where there's opposition for being a Christian and death and family members, we will be greatly humbled. But we don't know. But it's getting that way more and more each day. at the time John wrote this letter, and he was given this opportunity to go into the heavenly control room and for him to be taken into the main room, in a way, and see things from God's perspective. For at the time John wrote this letter, the people were wondering, where are you, God? Where is your power? Where is your mightiness to save? And so John sees this vision into heaven, and he sees Jesus in control. And he sees God unfolding his history out according to his good purposes and pleasure for our good. And the reason why is because God loves his people, and the greatest thing he's done is save us through his son Jesus on that cross. You remember, you are worthy to open the scroll because you ransomed people for God. And brought. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 5 now, and we'll look at these verses now. Did you watch the grand final yesterday? How many thousands were there? Well done, Kay. You can get a chocolate later on. 1,024 people were in that stadium, there watching the game, all right? And it was tense, wasn't it, all the way to the end. Not that I'm an AFL added follower, but yesterday we watched it and we were on the edge of our seat right to the very end. And I'm sorry, if anybody hasn't seen it yet, sorry, they're going to get a... You know, put your ears in here, all right. Okay, that's a what do they call those things again? Spoiler. Yeah, there's a spoiler coming, all right, coming through. But when I was watching that, I kind of got the picture of what this must have been in a small way at the stadium there, but in the scriptures in a great way, all right. John is allowed to go into the heavenly control room, and there, what do we hear? Let me read it out to you again. Let me just read through. And he goes, read in chapter 5, let me read. And it says, beginning of verse 11, I looked and I heard the voice of many angels. 100,024? Numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000s. All right? I don't know if the mathematicians here, 10,000 times 10,000, so you can work it out quickly how many millions that might be or billions that might be. But it's bigger than what was there at the stadium. And John was allowed to witness the angels being able to say, with the elders encircling the throne, not in a whisper, as we might to a colleague saying, oh, you went to church on Sunday. How was it? Was it okay? Good. What did you learn? Right? Oh, here comes the boss. All right? Okay. No. In a loud voice, all right? In a loud voice, they were saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all in them, everything, saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. John got to see the end of the game. He got to see who won, even though he's in halfway. And it appears that the opposition are winning, all right? Even to the last little minute before the game, we're going to lose. Next minute you hear, Collingwood, in the last 2 minutes before the end of the game, and it's going, and then the siren sounds, all right? I won't do the spoiler for those who have listened in. Could be tragic, all right? But it was, but here John is getting to see. John, this is what it's going to be like. This is what it's going to be like at the end of time. Hang in there. All right. All authority and power has been given unto Christ, unto him. In this world you will have trouble, Jesus. He can remember the words that Jesus may have been saying to him, said to him. But in this world you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. And one day we will be there with every creature. And in a sense, John saw himself there and others there gathered. The brother or sister whom he may have been ministering to and struggling with in their faith and persevering. And he's worried if they were going to give up or not. He sees them there, saved, mighty to save. It's no wonder. You are worthy, Lord, to receive glory and honor and power forever and ever. What are we saying when we pray that little bit in the Lord's Prayer? Yours be the power forever and ever. We're praying what John, what Apostle Paul is remembered. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies, who makes people right with God. God who justifies, God who is the one who has made us just if we've never sinned and passing the wrath of God. When then, who then is the one who condemns? No one. No one is able. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who wants anyone more than Jesus there interceding? The greatest barrister, the greatest lawyer, the greatest one interceding for us. No one greater than God himself. If you're discouraged this morning like John and wondering how hard it is, right, we're all like that. We all have those days. All right? John is allowed to, this is here, been allowed for us to be here in the scriptures, so that we can be encouraged. And that word encouraged is not merely a pat on the back. It's the two words, encourage. Encourage. Undergird with courage to keep going and to persevere. For we know the one who is mighty to save and has saved for us. So if you're in that state and you're thinking of giving up and you're thinking it's hard to keep going, persevere. Remember the end of the game. Who wins and whose team you're on, right? And at what cost that was, so that we do not become lazy. For that's the other side. If you're lazy and you're taking all this for granted, can I tell you to wake up? Take your relationship with Jesus very seriously. Christ didn't die for you for no reason whatsoever, just for the heck of it. It's not about church. It's about a relationship with him and about a relationship with God now and forever. So when we pray that prayer, yours be the power, now and forevermore, amen. We're praying, God, we acknowledge this about you. You are God. There is no other. You're able to do what you're able to do. We're accepting, surrendering, trusting in God to do that when we consider all that he has done for us. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us all things through him who died for us? John was able to write these words. See, in the light of the power of God and the benefit it is for us and for his glory, he writes, see what great love the Father has lavished on us. What a contrast between worldly power. The power is therefore to show that he loves us. He wants us to be in friendship with us, and he has us in friendship with us. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. His kids. All right? His kids. And that is what we are. And the Father, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's say this together, this Psalm 66, verses 1 to 4 together. I'll get Diane to come and lead us in that psalm. Thanks, Diane.
Ready? Go. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing their praise to you. They sing the praises of your name. Amen. Okay, rousing words. Let's stand and sing another song for Let Your Kingdom Come.
Your glorious cause, O God, engages our hearts.
Standing, we'll say together what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Lord, we pray that your grace may always uphold and encourage us and make us continually to be given to all good works. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A prayer for refugees. Heavenly Father, we remember before you this month the many refugees throughout the world without statehood, homes, and hope. We bring before you especially those individuals and families who have found refuge in Sydney and come under the pastoral care of the Blair family. Grant to Cameron and Lara and their family the resources and opportunities they need to reach out, especially to refugee youth and their families, and to care for them. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A prayer for Anglican prison chaplaincy. Heavenly Father, we remember before you this month prison chaplains who work in a range of settings, including maximum security, minimum security, women's prisons, and juvenile centres. It is often noted that for those who are sent to jail and become prisoners, feel they can't get much lower in their life. The only way to go is to look towards you. It is this time in their life you often actually speak to them and call them back to you. Chaplains are some of the most sought after people in prisons. Every day, prison inmates want to meet with them. These requests are so frequent, most chaplains can't see everyone who asks. Our prison chaplains regularly go well beyond what is expected of them. Sustain and strengthen them. Bless their families, and may they be encouraged in their service to you. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A prayer for all those in authority. Almighty God, we pray for the nations of this earth and our country, Australia, and our government leaders. We pray for our Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, Leader of the Opposition, Peter Dutton, the Premier of New South Wales, Chris Minns, to all members of Parliament and to all who hold office in this land. Grant that their decisions may be based on wise counsel so that peace and welfare, truth and justice may prevail among us and make us a blessing to all people. Almighty God, we pray for the Anglican Church in Australia and especially our diocese in Sydney. Thank you for your guiding hand at the recent synod. We pray for Kanishka, our Archbishop, Michael, our Regional Bishop, and Trevor, our Rector. Fill your ministers with your Spirit, that they may faithfully preach the Gospel and administer your Holy Sacraments. We also pray for this congregation as we respond to your amazing grace and strive to live each day as ambassadors of your Son, Jesus. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A prayer for Indigenous Australians. Creator God, you made one man, all nations, and determine where each should live. We bring before you the Indigenous people of Australia. We acknowledge the history that has damaged the relationship between them and later arrivals to this land. Thank you for the steps that have been taken on the journey towards reconciliation. Deepen this process among us. Guide national and community leaders to speak the truth in love, to seek justice and mercy, and to care for those who are disadvantaged. Strengthen Indigenous church leaders to shepherd your flocks faithfully, and strengthen all Indigenous Christians to be the salt and light in their communities and in the whole nation. Give Indigenous and non-Indigenous believers grace to demonstrate the new family you are making in Christ out of people of every nation, tribe, language, and people. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A prayer for the poor, needy, sick, and vulnerable. Almighty God, giver of life and health, hear our prayers for those who are sick and for those who minister to them. Grant them strength and perseverance in their weakness. In your mercy, quickly restore them to health of body and mind according to your will, that they may give thanks to you in the presence of your people. Please take a moment to pray silently for those you know who are suffering. Father, hear our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Be exalted, Lord, above the heavens. Let your glory cover the earth. Keep our nation under your care, and guide us in justice and truth. Let your ways be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Send out your light and truth, that we may tell of your saving works. Hear our prayers, O Lord, for we put our trust in you. Amen.
Draw your attention now to the news and notes. If you haven't had a look at it yet, please have a good look at home. Just the things that are going on in our parish at the moment. We do want to thank you for regularly supporting financially our church online or via the offertory box at the back of church. And a reminder about those envelopes at the end of the pew for our monthly mission focus, which this month is the Blairs. We'll have prayers available after church for anyone who wants to get some personal prayer, and Barbara and Brian will just be on the seats over here. If you'd like to come and make use of that service to you, please do so. Rosemary, you've got something you'd like to share with us?
He's just gone to get me something so I know I don't tell you the wrong date. We're doing this year our last, actually I'm talking about the last event on our ladies' calendar. We still have one between then. We're all going to go out to the club for dinner, but we can figure that one out. This one, our last event for the year, needs a fair bit of organisation. We're going to be doing a gingerbread house afternoon. So we need some extra volunteers who might like to come and help us for the afternoon. That would be great. The invitations have been done. So we need to get them out now because they need to be, numbers need to be worked out a little bit beforehand. So it's on Saturday the 2nd of December from 2 to 5pm. So if you want to take some invitations, you can hand them out. You're allowed to come just by yourself and do a house, or by your help by yourself. That's fine. It is quite awesome if you bring a little gang of little people with you to do your gingerbread house. Okay, open to men and women of all of ages. We do ask that the children are actually at school. So from 5 years up, we've discovered that if you do it when they're younger than that, yeah, they just eat all the lollies, and then you, there's just this massive, you know, they run amok. They just get the hyperactivity plus. Bring a neighbour, bring a friend. You might like to bring your neighbour if you're an older person who might like to make it as a present for their grandchildren or nieces or nephews. It's a great afternoon. It's lots of fun. So here are the invitations. The prices and everything are on there. Start thinking about that now. And if you'd like to help out on the day, you just have to whisper that on into my ear, because some extra helpers would be great. So, yeah. And we'll organise our night out at the club soon.
Thanks, Diane. Don't worry, man. I've got something planned next week to tell you, all right? Don't feel like... I know. We've got something planned for us to have some fellowship together as well. Two things. Just one again. Simon and I were at Synod last couple of weeks ago, this summary of the Synod information is available off the church website. If you go onto the front page of the website, the home page, and click on where it says Anglican Sydney Diocese, up will come the information about Synod and just a summary of all the things that were thought about and discussed and concluded at that time. As you leave today, I'll be at the door and handing out the Southern Cross, again giving one to each of you so that you're able to keep up to speed with what's going on, not only in the world, but also in our Diocese of Sydney. And there's some really great little articles in there, one in particular about what we're actually doing in playgroup and how we go about doing playgroup here, making it like a church time for the mums and dads that bring their kids along. I think that's it for me. Yep, thank you.
At the back table, our mission table, there is a sign-up sheet for the next set of rosters, the activities that you may or may not want to volunteer for. If you do not wish to continue in a volunteering role in any one of those service areas at our church services each week, just cross your name out. If you want to add your name to help out, please do so. But if you could just notify the dates you may not be available between now and December, I think so. That would be appreciated. So that'll be there for the next few weeks. And after church, it'd be great to have you out there for morning tea. Beautiful day. We've got enough shade outside, so it'll be very pleasant. Just give people a bit of space so that we keep COVID safe still, because it hasn't left us. It's still out there. So that would be great. Now, as we prepare to leave, we're going to stand and sing our final song, which is All Glory Be to Christ.
This is a new song that we learned last week. It's a very easy tune to listen to and to sing along to. Auld Lang Syne. Is that it?
Auld Lang Syne.
Auld Lang Syne.
Should nothing of our own.
sentence of scripture for today. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds? So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. Eternal God and Father, by whose power we are created and by whose love we are redeemed, guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may give of ourselves to your service and live this week in love to one another and to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen. Thanks.